Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. I'm going to try and not push myself too much so I don't fall into a big coughing fit. But certainly it's a great joy, as I know, unless you've been living under a rock in a sewer 500 years ago, to know that we have the first American Pope, Pope Leo XIV. And that's just an exciting thing. I think, you know, I'm not normally moved by kind of cute or sentimental things, but the idea that the camera happened to catch him 20 years ago at a White Sox World Series game as he was just eating peanuts is one of the coolest things in the world to me. We had no idea who he was at the time. They just happened to catch him on Fox Sports. So fantastic. And I know a lot of people have been, you know, anxious, concerned, praying for him, happy, all these different emotions. Today he gave his first Regina Caeli address. We do the Regina Caeli during Easter instead of the Angelus. And one of the things he said to start it off was, he mentioned, as I was going to mention already, but now I get to quote him, that today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and every fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday. Because every year during the fourth Sunday of Easter, we read from John chapter 10, where Jesus gives us the Good Shepherd Discourse. And he said how much of an honor it was to have his first Sunday as Pope be Good Shepherd Sunday. And then he encouraged us to pray also for vocations to the priesthood, as, again, I was going to encourage you to do, but he's Pope, so you actually listen to him. So that's nice, right? And yet, dear brothers and sisters, if you've been following me on Facebook, one of the things that's been my great concern throughout this whole process, from the death of Pope Francis through the conclave and everything, is as much as we should love the Pope and respect the Pope and honor the Pope and recognize the Pope's role in the Church, we don't ever want to forget that the Pope is not the head of the Church. Jesus Christ is the head of the Church. And every pastor, pastor is Latin for shepherd, every pastor, whether it be me or the bishop or the pope, we're merely his emissaries and representatives, but we never take his place. It is Jesus Christ, not only who founded the church, but currently still runs and guides the church. And he'll do so forever. It's one of the most shocking things we hear today in the second reading from the book of Revelation. It's talking about people in heaven, not people on earth, people in heaven. And it says, for this reason they stand before God's throne and worship him day and night in his temple. And then it says, for the Lamb who is in the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water. Even in heaven, Jesus continues to shepherd us, to guide us. And dear brothers and sisters, how wonderful and beautiful an understanding that is, that in the church, through the sacraments, through his teaching, through the pastors he sends, through everything, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, is alive, and Jesus himself runs the church. So no matter how bad your pastor is, you still have no excuse, because the ultimate pastor is all good. Right? All good. Now, as you know, we've been talking about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I want to mention this. This Lamb who sits in the center of the throne, we don't hear it today, but John describes him elsewhere. He is a weird-looking lamb. Okay. As the kids would say today, he's cringe. Okay. It's a weird-looking lamb. And I've only seen like once or twice where a painter actually tried to paint the lamb the way that he's described in John. You don't want to paint the lamb the way he's described in John. Because the lamb at the center of the throne has seven horns and seven eyes. Seven horns and seven eyes. Why? St. John says, because these are the seven spirits of God. These are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that Isaiah said would rest on the Messiah and then rest on us. And saints meditating on that, on these seven horns and seven eyes, realize this. Look, this is the reality, is that, see, I'm getting fired up. The reality is that these seven gifts are both horns and eyes. Horns is a sign of power, and eyes is a sign of enlightenment, wisdom, knowledge. Okay. Seven horns and seven eyes. And in the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, he still guides and shepherds his church. As I said, he does so in lots of ways. But one of the ways he does are through those seven gifts. And so, if you got something resembling a full homily last weekend, it really depends on which Mass you came to, you'll know that we're talking about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit in this core of the Easter season, where the Spirit helps us soar, lifts the sails of our soul so that we can fly with grace, that we'll still always need to trudge, we'll still always need to sacrifice, we'll still always need to work. But even now on earth, there is a higher life that we can access through those seven gifts. The seven gifts that our young ones were sealed with Monday at confirmation. The seven gifts that all of us receive in baptism and are sealed with in confirmation, that lift up our soul to be responsive to the breath of the Holy Spirit. To live the higher life. A life that soars. The life of the saints. So we're going to look at two of them today because we have two of them in the readings, in a way. And the first one we're going to talk about is probably the gift of the Holy Spirit that you're most comfortable with and the one that you're most familiar with, though you may not call it this or recognize that this is what it is. And that is the gift of counsel. Okay? Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." Right? That we hear the voice of the Lord in the teaching of the church and the preaching of the pastors, but also, Jesus says later in John, the Spirit will take from what is mine and teach it to you. That there is a movement in our heart where the Spirit tells us what to do. He doesn't just lead us into a deeper knowledge of the faith or a deeper appreciation of the faith. He actually tells us what to do. And so when people are always like, "I'm praying to God to tell me what to do," what you're actually asking for is the gift of counsel, right? That the Spirit would move in your heart. Now, you know, I've told you this already. You don't always need the gift of counsel. "Lord, should I go to Mass this Sunday? Please give me something." Go, right? You don't need an answer from heaven for that. Yeah. Somebody joked that because Pope Leo XIV is so young, we'll probably never see a Gen X Pope, and he was very upset about that. And I said, well, that's probably good, because as somebody who identifies as Gen X myself, the Gen X Pope would give exactly one encyclical of one line, which is, "Figure it out yourselves and be cool to one another." Okay, that's it. And that's a lot of what we need to do, you know? We need to figure it out. But there are times when we can't figure it out, where we don't know what's going on, where we need God's guidance. And sometimes God guides us to do things that are just completely not on our radar at all. Completely not on our radar at all. And we see this in the lives of the saints all the time. We see it in the life of holy priests in this diocese. I think of Father Champagne. Like, "Hey, we're gonna bring Jesus on a boat down the Teche, right? We're going to have an ambulance that turns into a confessional." It's all the time, right? We see these movements of the Spirit that are not just something that you could just figure out. God breathes into them. God breathes into us. And we hear the voice of the Lord. And we follow him. And dear brothers and sisters, what a precious gift that is. What a precious gift that is. To be told by God what to do. Right? How much we cherish that. And yet, if you've ever been told by God what to do, you might recognize and realize that it's not always easy. And so there is... I mean, look, I've never heard the Holy Spirit like whisper in somebody's heart, "I want you to sip scotch and watch Netflix." Like, I don't think that's like what happens, right? calls us to difficult things. And so the saints always say that for the gift of counsel to really work, it has to go hand in hand with the gift of courage. The gift of courage. And just like prudence is a lower form of counsel where we can figure it out on our own, so also we're supposed to have courage sometimes, you know, just as a virtue, we just pick up those oars and row where we say like, no, I mean like, look, I have to do what's right, even if it costs me, even if somebody might say something negative about me on Facebook. That's just normal courage. That's not what we see in the apostles, okay? The apostles, as we hear today in the first reading, are filled with the spirit of courage, with the spirit's gift of courage. And it's incredible. I want you to think, I don't know if we ever fully process this in our imagination, but I want you to think what it's really like to have been the apostles. Sometimes we talk today about how difficult it is to share our faith. And it is. In his first homily to the cardinals, Pope Leo XIV even said, these are the difficulties of sharing the faith today. We ain't got nothing on what they had to face. Don't forget, these are just regular guys. They didn't have degrees. They didn't have positions in society. They were not, most of them weren't even Roman citizens. Paul was, thank goodness. And they went out there. There was no churches, no community of believers to welcome them, no buildings in which they could preach. No one had ever even heard of Jesus Christ before. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have social media. They didn't have anything to help them. And the one group of people who should have been at least somewhat disposed to this, the Jewish people, were the first people who rejected them and kept on trying to kill them. It was insane what they did. These men in the power of the Holy Spirit, facing all of that, took the world by its ear and went, whap, dropped it on the ground. With nothing but their tongue and their God. With nothing but their tongue and their God. It's insane. And we see that today in the first reading. They go and they proclaim Jesus to the Jews of Antioch and Pisidia. And they stir up to kill them. And they, therefore, say, fine, we're going to go preach to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are like, what? Who? Huh? What? Is this? Never heard of these things in my life. And they're like, this is kind of cool. We're delighted to hear this, they said. And then they tried to kill him more. And my favorite, one of my favorite things is this, is Paul and Barnabas, you won't be able to see my feet, so I'm going to do the more modern gesture. Paul and Barnabas basically do this. That's their response. They shake the dust from their feet. They brush it off. Like, they're not terrified that people are literally trying to murder them. Paul was actually stoned to the point of death. He was beaten. He was clubbed. He was imprisoned. This wasn't just like, oh, somebody's going to be out to get me. Like, they actually caught him several times and brought him to the point of death. And he was like, that's the courage of the Holy Spirit. That's not ordinary courage. That's the power that comes from God. And we see that also in the martyrs. If you read the lives of the martyrs, some of them almost run to their deaths. And you're like, are these people masochistic? Are they insane? No. They're filled with the courage of the Holy Spirit so that all the threats of the world don't daunt them in the slightest. They soar. They soar. And they can't be stopped by the little threats of little people. Dear brothers and sisters, that same gift of courage is given to us too. Now granted, hopefully we don't face the same kind of challenge as they did. But we have the same spirit they do. And that doesn't mean that you have to go run into Champagne's and jump up on the deli counter and start proclaiming Jesus Christ. If you do so, let me know. I'll film it and put it on YouTube. It'll be fantastic, right? But the reality is we still have that same spirit of courage. If only we let him breathe in us. If only we let him breathe in us. If only we don't choose the tyranny of anxiety over the freedom of the Spirit. Over the freedom of the Spirit. And so on this Good Shepherd Sunday, as we pray for our Holy Father, Pope Leo, as we pray for vocations to the priesthood, as we acknowledge and reverence and love Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, let's pray in a special way that he would shepherd us with the gifts of counsel and courage to tell us what we should do and to give us the strength to do it. God bless you all.